The death of Eazy-E was one of the most shocking moments in hip-hop history. It happened so fast that even people closest to him barely knew what was going on. And since he died, there have been tons of conspiracy theories about what went down, including some that say he was secretly murdered. So today we're breaking down the mysterious death of Eazy-E and all the theories of what really happened to the godfather of gangster rap. In early 1995, Eazy started to get a bad cough and was having trouble breathing. At first, he assumed it was just a cold or something small like asthma, but the cough got worse and worse until he had to go to the hospital. Eazy thought they would probably give him some medication and send him home, but nobody ever imagined he would be on his deathbed just a few weeks later. At the time, Eazy was in the prime of his career. N.W.A. was one of the hottest rap groups ever, and after their breakup, Eazy kept up the momentum with his solo career. His beef with Dr. Dre and Ice Cube made him bigger than ever, but it was starting to cool off, and there were even talks of a reunion. Tragically, before any of that could happen, Eazy suddenly passed away. On February 16th, Eazy's friends brought him to the emergency room so he could get help with his cough. He stayed in the hospital for a few days, but started to feel better, so he checked himself out on February 19th, and even went to the studio with his artist, BG Knockout, after hitting up the pharmacy. But the cough didn't go away. On February 24th, Eazy returned to the studio with BG, where they were supposed to be working on their album. Eazy had one verse left before they could turn the project into the label, but when it was time to record his part, he started having trouble breathing. BG found him in the back room and kept trying to get him to come back to the studio to record his verse, but after a while, he realized something was wrong. Eazy was having trouble breathing and kept hitting his inhaler. He was also sweating like crazy and could barely speak. They decided to rush him to the hospital, but this time they went to a different hospital. Not long after, everyone learned what was really going on. It turned out that his lungs had collapsed while he was in the studio, but that wasn't even the most tragic news. Later that day, Eazy found out that he tested positive for AIDS and didn't have much time to live. Everyone was shocked. They knew his cough was bad, but thought he'd be fine once he got the right medicine. They had no idea that Eazy had gotten HIV and how bad it was about to get. Over the next few weeks, Eazy's health just got worse and worse. He was in bad shape, and he knew he might not make it. So, on March 16th, he asked his lawyer to prepare a statement and let his fans know what was happening. The statement said, "Now, I'm in the biggest fight of my life and it ain't easy, but I want to say much love to those who have been down with me and thanks for all your support. Just remember, it's your real time and your real life." That same week, Ice Cube, Dre, and other members of N.W.A. came to the hospital and they finally squashed their beef. So, the only thing left to do was to tell the world. Eazy also wanted to warn his followers about the dangers of unprotected sex. Doctors assumed that Eazy contracted the disease from one of his sexual partners. But even to this day, it's not clear who exactly gave it to him, and there are even some people who believe he didn't get it from a random groupie, but he was intentionally injected with the virus. At that point, the world knew that Eazy was in trouble, but no one knew how quickly he would die from the illness. Plenty of people have been diagnosed with AIDS and still live for many years, including other celebrities like Magic Johnson. So, no one expected Eazy to be gone that quickly. While he was in the hospital, Eazy came down with pneumonia and could no longer breathe on his own. They tried to do an emergency surgery to clear his lung, but it didn't work and he was put into a coma. Eazy passed away on March 26, just 1 month after his diagnosis and 10 days after telling the world what happened. He was only 30 years old and left behind 11 children. There was a crowd of over 3,000 people at his funeral, and even though they all made up before his death, DJ Yella was the only N.W.A. member at the funeral. Other members later said they just didn't want to see Eazy like that and preferred to remember him the way he was when he was alive. Eazy's death shocked the world, especially because it happened so fast. No one could believe that a 30-year-old man could go from seeming perfectly healthy 1 minute to suddenly dying of AIDS just a month after going to the hospital. It just didn't make sense, and ever since he passed, there have been many conspiracy theories about what really happened. Plus, some of his closest friends and family members don't believe the official story of what happened. First off, Eazy appeared perfectly normal up until the point he got pneumonia and had to be put on life support. It's pretty common for people with HIV to look sound and normal while the virus weakens your immune system until you finally get AIDS. But that usually takes a while and doesn't happen so fast. According to many people who saw Eazy in the hospital, they didn't notice any changes in his appearance or behavior until his final moments. Bone Thugs and Harmony had just signed to Ruthless Records and were around Easy all the time in the months before he died. Crazy Bone later said in an interview with Angela Yee that Easy was his normal self right up until the end. He said, "Dude had full-blown AIDS and looked regular. He still had his weight, still cocky, still looking like a regular dude. It just came about all of a sudden. He was really built like a little tank." Many people also wondered how he was exposed to HIV in the first place. Easy lived the lifestyle of a famous rapper and slept with tons of women over the years, but none of his sexual partners or the mothers of his children came forward and admitted they had the disease. So, to this day, no one really knows exactly how he got it. All of these unanswered questions made people wonder if there was more to the story that wasn't being revealed to the public. The situation was already sketchy, but over the years, more info came out that made his death look suspicious. Not long after Easy was buried, the LA Times revealed that there was a dispute over his estate and ownership of Ruthless Records. The dispute was between Easy's widow, Tamika Woods, and Mike Klein, the former director of business affairs at Ruthless. Klein had filed a lawsuit claiming that he owned 50% of the company, but Tamika was arguing that she owned the entire company. That's when fans started to suspect that something was up with Tamika. When Easy was first diagnosed, she was his only girlfriend and was pregnant with his child. But they were married in his hospital room on March 14, 1995, just 12 days before his death. It turns out Tamika didn't just become Easy's wife. She was also given control of his estate, which meant she had complete power over his business affairs after his death. Easy also had six other baby mothers who had no say in how his affairs were handled and what happened to his money and the record label. And Tamika used that power to cut his other family members out of the will. Many of Eazy-E's kids claimed that they were only given $75,000 of his $20 million estate, then completely cut off financially. The only one to receive any significant money was the child that Easy had with Tamika. The whole situation made Tamika and her marriage to Easy look suspicious. According to the doctors, by March 14th, Easy was in critical condition, and by the 15th, he was basically paralyzed. So, if he was in such a bad state, how could he have possibly agreed to the marriage or get his lawyer to draft a will? What's even sketchier is that, supposedly, Easy's signature is not even on the marriage certificate. It was typed in. That started a theory that Tamika may have plotted with Easy's lawyer to take advantage of him while he was weak from fighting the virus, or that they may have even planned his murder. Plus, it isn't just random fans on the internet who have questions. Some of the people closest to Easy, including his own children and artists signed to Ruthless, still don't believe the official stories of what happened. BG Knockout, Easy's artist and the dude that was with him every day before he went into the hospital, believes that his mentor was murdered. On the song In My Prime, BG said, "The way my big homie went out, he didn't deserve it. They say he died of AIDS, but Easy was called murder. I filtered out all the bullshit with my third iris. Full-blown AIDS, but Tamika ain't got the virus." He later clarified in a 2011 interview with Hip Hop DX that he didn't know what happened to Easy, but he believes there's more to the story. He said, "I believe in my heart somebody did something to Eric. Whether it was Jerry, whether it was Tamika, I have yet to really know the truth about it. But for a person to have full-blown AIDS, my little brother, his father died from full-blown AIDS, from sharing a needle because he was an addict. Now, I've seen this man go through these stages, from HIV to full-blown AIDS, and when you get a cold, any little thing like that, your whole immune system shut down, so you have to go to the hospital just to recover. Now, to be around Eric for the last 3 years of his life and never had an episode like this, never ever, something is strange, something is real odd." Jerry Heller is the music industry executive who discovered Easy and helped him start Ruthless Records. Jerry's influence over Easy was a major part of his beef with the rest of NWA. The other dudes in the crew accused him of tricking them into signing bad contracts to steal their money. Easy stayed loyal to Jerry for many years, but eventually cut ties with him right before he died. People close to Easy claim that he accused Jerry of engaging in financial shenanigans and didn't want anything to do with him. So, there is another theory that Jerry may have somehow been involved in the murder plot. Along with BG Knockout, Eazy-E's own son, Lil Eazy-E, says that he also doesn't believe his father died of AIDS. Lil Eazy says he became an advocate for HIV research and wanted to prevent others from losing their lives to the disease. But the more he learned about the circumstances around the death of his dad, the more he realized things just didn't add up. Eazy's daughter, Evie, was also not convinced, and together, they did a deep dive into what really happened, which was later turned into a docuseries called The Mysterious Death of Eazy-E. In an interview, Lil Eazy claimed her research uncovered a lot of suspicious things about the death.
You got forged signatures, you got doctors who can't find right now, you got, you know, death certificates that were altered, you know what I mean? You got all kind of stuff.
BG Knockout revealed in an interview with DJ Vlad that Easy's original cause of death was listed as cardiac arrest. But while EB was doing her research, she found that his death certificate now lists the cause of death as pneumonia along with acquired immune deficiency syndrome, aka AIDS. So that could be what Lil Easy was talking about when he claims his death certificate was altered, although he doesn't go into much detail during the interview. There are still a lot of unanswered questions about what really happened to Eazy-E. Many people are quick to blame Jerry Heller and Tamika Woods, but over the years, more theories have come out about who else could have been involved. Some people think that Eazy was murdered by his biggest op in the game, Suge Knight. Suge was the one who convinced Dr. Dre to leave NWA and start Death Row Records with him. It's been a rumor forever that Suge and his goons jumped Eazy and threatened to kill Jerry Heller if they didn't let Dr. Dre out of his contract. They eventually agreed to let Dre leave the label, but Eazy later sued them for using threats to break the contract. So that officially set off the beef between Dr. Dre and Eazy-E, and Suge was right in the middle of it. But by 1995, Dre was starting to distance himself from Suge, and there are reports that NWA might get back together. So, it's possible that Suge may have wanted Eazy out of the picture to keep him from linking back up with Dre. To make things even more suspicious, Suge went on Jimmy Kimmel Live in 2003 and talked about how easy it is to kill someone by injecting them with AIDS. He told Jimmy,
"This is a new thing, right?
Yeah.
See, if somebody gonna do something about it, see, right. Technology is so high, right?
Right.
So if you shoot somebody, you go to jail forever. So the kids, you don't wanna go to jail forever, right?
Right.
So they got this new thing out that people sell them all the time. They got this stuff to call, they get blood from somebody with AIDS.
Yeah.
And then they shoot you with it.
Oh, so well, that seems bad.
That's
yeah.
a slow death.
Yeah.
Easy thing, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That alone, and many people think that Suge was basically confessing to murdering Eazy-E on live TV. Suge already had a long history of violence and has been accused of everything from hanging Vanilla Ice off a balcony to ordering the hit on Tupac. So it wouldn't be that crazy to believe he has something to do with the death of Eazy-E, especially when he's out here making all kinds of wild statements. Another artist who signed to Ruthless Records named Frost claims that he knows exactly how Eazy got HIV and suggested that Suge may have been involved. During an interview, Frost revealed he found out Eazy had AIDS right after it happened because he had a girlfriend who worked at the hospital. According to him, Eazy did not get the virus from having unprotected sex. He got it through tainted needles during an acupuncture session. Eazy got hurt during an ATV crash in Honda Valley and needed to get acupuncture. That's when someone was allegedly able to inject him with the dirty blood. He doesn't mention Suge by name, but Frost claims it was done by a well-known man in the West Coast rap scene with a bad reputation. And anyone who knows their hip-hop history clearly knows who he's talking about. In 2011, the FBI also released documents that linked Eazy to the death of Tupac. According to the documents, their investigation into Tupac's murder revealed that it may have been part of a larger criminal conspiracy involving Eazy-E. Right after Pac's murder, they received an anonymous tip that both rappers were part of an extortion scam and had been receiving death threats. The documents also suggest that Tupac's death may have been financial retaliation against Death Row for stealing talent from Ruthless Records. The FBI didn't do much with this information, so it's unclear if the tip was accurate or if there's any truth to the connection between Tupac's death and Suge's beef with Eazy-E. But it would explain why Suge may have wanted to take Eazy out. It also gives more credit to another popular theory, that the conspiracy goes all the way to the top, and even the FBI was in on it. In the 80s and 90s, when the AIDS crisis first happened, there were a lot of rumors about the government's involvement. There was even one theory that AIDS was created in a lab and intentionally spread by the CIA to kill off black people. These theories have been disproven, but many people still believe that something similar may have happened to Eazy-E. Eazy had been on the FBI's watch list ever since the release of Fuck the Police. After the song came out, NWA received a cease and desist letter from the feds, and there was reason to believe that the cops may have continued watching him after the group broke up. Eazy was one of the early founders of gangster rap, and he was outspoken about police brutality and other problems in the hood. So, it was no secret that the FBI was not happy with him. In fact, during his final interview, Eazy claimed that the KKK put a hit out on him, Rodney King, and other well-known black figures in order to start a race war. The FBI knew all about it and warned some of the people who were being targeted, but they never told Eazy. So that's why many people still believe the government thought Eazy was too big of a threat and had to take him out. It would also explain how they could cover it up and prevent the truth from getting out for so many years. The theory is definitely a stretch, but if the feds knew the KKK had a bag on his head and never told him, it's clear they weren't worried about keeping Eazy safe. The FBI probably didn't take him out, but even if they thought somebody murdered him, they probably wouldn't try too hard to solve it. So the world may never know what really happened to Eazy-E. Maybe his body just couldn't handle the virus, and it really took him out that fast. but there's a good reason why so many of the people close to him think there's more to the story.